Welcome to Freedomizer Radio on this glorious Saturday. This three-hour time slot brings you the Sabbath Hour with Brother Gregory, and the second and third hour features Team Free State. Enjoy the show.
Sabbath Hour. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about a number of things that I often don't talk about on the radio, but I listened to last week's show on Team Free States, and I thought that the listening audience might be interested in some of these topics. We can talk about an awful lot of things because we're dealing with a whole kingdom of ideas and concepts. That's one of the things we talked about earlier this morning, is that Christ was actually a political figure. He wasn't just a religious figure. Governments had gotten a great deal involved in religion. Religion is actually the social welfare programs of your society. It's how you take care of the widows and orphans and needy of your society. That's what the Bible says. But the method used by the Pharisees was making the word of God to none effect and was condemned by Christ. It happens to be the method that most Christians use today, which is social welfare programs that are run by the state, whereby they force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. And when that kind of welfare will become a snare and bind you in a society where you cannot be free. So if you want to be free, you have to go and create the society or the nature of a society whereby you can provide all those benefits in a way that strengthens the poor and is done by free will offerings. This is what Israel was. This is what Abraham was. This is what Christ was preaching. And anybody who tells you difference is a liar, because that's what Christ was all about. He was about people loving their neighbor as themselves, loving God and righteousness, tending to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. And once you start doing that, a whole new world opens up to you, because you are changed by the new environment that you place yourself in when you begin to go this other way, this way of Christ, this way of early Christianity. It's not what you see as Christianity today. It's what Christianity used to be before men crept in with damnable heresies and started making you think that you can be saved simply because you say you believe in Jesus. When Christ said, it's not those who say, Lord, Lord, but those who actually do the will of the Father. It is probably one of the most satanic doctrines to suggest that you don't have to do anything to obtain salvation in God's kingdom, because he said that you did. Now, yes, you have to believe, but if your belief does not include works, your belief is dead and you don't have salvation. You don't have access to it. So once you start believing, you're going to start doing. And the more you do, the more you will believe, or you will fall away, one or the other. Like the seed sown, some on dry ground, some on rocky ground, some where the weeds choke them out. Each one. You are changed by the path. The path is the destination. The journey is the destination. So once you start down that path towards independence, yet with love for neighbor, you begin to change and are changed by the path itself. The world as we have created it, says Albert Einstein, is a process of our own thinking. It cannot be changed without changing our thinking. And nothing will change your thinking more than taking responsibility for yourself, for your family, and for your neighbor. You were created in the image of God. That's what the Bible tells us. But what exactly does that mean? Does that mean that God has five fingers or four fingers and a thumb and, you know, 10 toes on the bottom of his feet? Is that what they mean by the image? Or do you have some of the same creative power in you that God has in his nature? Your nature is somewhat like, in an image, it's not God, but it's like God. And with that comes one of the great temptations, that you are God. And, of course, that's exactly what Satan thinks, is that he thinks he is God. He knows he's not, but he'd like to think he was. You know, Satan has good intentions. His methods are what gets him into trouble. He thinks that he knows better than God. He thinks that he should be able, he is so smart, so great, so powerful, that he should be able to direct you. And if you don't do what God, Satan, wants, he wants to compel you to do it, punish you. God wants you to choose out of love. You are punished because it's built into the system that if you don't do it the way God says we should do it, then there will be repercussions, which is why God says, do it this way. You know, it's what I tell my kids when they were growing up, easy or hard. If you don't do it the way I say, it's going to get hard. If you do it the way I say, it will be easy. My burden is light, so saith Christ. Well, unfortunately, most Christians are not being taught the ways of Christ. They're being taught the ways of the world and being made comfortable about it in their churches. I actually hear people say that they go to church because they want to be uplifted. They want to feel good. But that's not why you go to church. You go to church so that you have the opportunity of being good. You gather together with other people so that you can help them. Help them and strengthen them. And be there for them in hopes that they will be there for you. So anyway, I promised to talk about a number of things. Energy misers and tyrants. Now, this is called the Freedomizer Show, but the M is in the other syllable with energy misers. It's not Freedomizers is not the same as energy misers and tyrants. When you cut yourself off from the tree of life, which is the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you cut yourself off from the power of the Holy Spirit, and now you have to get your power somewhere else. And we see that with Adam and Eve, is that when they were cut off, and they were cut off by their own acts, it was the end result of what they chose to do. They had to get their energy from the food they ate in the field. They had to get the energy that they lived by simply through the flesh. They didn't have access to the Holy Spirit because they cut themselves off from God, because they started operating outside of the nature of God. In other words, they were being remade by the path they chose to take. And we see a progression of that remaking from Adam and Eve to Cain and Abel to Cain and Lamech to Nimrod to the flood and to the people who followed in the ways of the kings of Sodom and created their city-states and created their welfare states like Nimrod, who was a mighty provider instead of the Lord. And it changed the nature of people more and more and more to fit the nature of Satan himself. Because in order for tyrants to rise up, they must have thousands and thousands and millions of little tyrants to man the offices. And I talked this morning about the government accounting office being cut back to a smaller number of employees than they've had over the entire last 70 years. And the GAO is the one government agency that actually polices all the other government agencies to make sure they're not stealing and robbing and wasting money. And so somehow or other we're going to save money by cutting them back? No, what you're doing is poking out the eyes of the only agency that actually is an oversight agency, because even the Department of Justice won't do anything about criminal activity unless the statistics are there from the Department of Justice of the government accounting office. You don't want to have an accounting. You already lost billions and billions and billions of dollars we can't find anywhere. Federal Reserve's not being audited anywhere. And you're going to cut back on the audits to save money? You know, just a few years ago, the government accounting office found that the people who were supposed to be collecting the money for offshore oil leases didn't get their money. They never collected it. I guess they forgot. Millions and millions and millions of dollars. They forgot to collect it. And the government accounting office found that's enough to pay the government accounting offices for years. And now we're going to cut back on that office. What do you think's up with that? But anyway, energy misers are people who need to get energy from somebody else. All socialists are energy misers. All socialists want you to provide for them at the point of a gun. They want to collect, they want to have your cake and eat theirs too. That's what an energy miser is. And that principle plays over in many, many layers of our being. It plays over in everything that we do. When you get a job where you can be a tyrant, a little mini tyrant, that begins to change you. But it also, it feeds a part of you that wants to be a tyrant. You know, the whole concept of Dracula, who drinks your blood to stay alive and stay young. You know, the concept of Dorian Gray, the picture that stays young at the expense of others. There was a great healer who lived in, you know, I say great here, famous healer, who lived in Germany and went all over Europe. And he was extremely successful in miraculous healings of people all over. And he was teaching other people how to do this. And they often would gather in a small little group, and he would teach them how to do this process of healing. I won't tell you exactly what he was doing because you might go out try it yourself, and it's not really a good idea, and I'll tell you why, is that he was on his way to a lecture, and suddenly he became extremely ill, and they rushed him to the hospital, and they ended up having to open him up in an emergency surgery, and they said his insides were as if they had been cooked. They were just black. What happened? This guy who, and he's only like in his 50s, I think he was 57 or something like that. What happened? Why was he so disease-ridden in there, so damaged inside? Everybody has the ability to take energy from somebody else. Psychically, or spiritually, or quantumly, you can take energy from other people. Now, other people have the ability to stop you, and of course, some people have this power better than others. So some people are literally psychic vampires, spiritual vampires. They go around and they suck the life out of other people, and they're very good at it. They're very often good manipulators. Sometimes they're very charismatic, and they will literally suck the life out of you. And this is why you can get charismatic speakers up there speaking, and people will actually faint in the audience, as if they, you know, they just, all the energy's gone out of them, they just faint. Healers, there was a healer down in Mexico, very good healer, good as far as showed success. Not good like Christ, okay? What was he actually doing? Now, the modus operandi is people would go down there and they would listen to seminars, and not by him, by others who were already there. And this little, you had to pay to stay there, and that's where they were really breaking in the bucks. And they would give you healthy food, and, you know, they would lecture you on health and spirituality and all this stuff. And much of that was true. And then there was kind of a mystique wandering around this guy, and then he would come in at the last day. And he would lay hands on people and do his little tricks and things like that. And I say tricks because I know the outcome of this. And you watch. If you really watch, nobody investigates. They believe what they want to believe. Some of the people would actually, who came there in wheelchairs, would get up and walk home. You know, walk to the airport and walk home. Other people, who came there in wheelchairs would leave on stretchers. At the same events, what was happening? Why were some people getting so well and others getting so ill? And then how long did the wellness last? And of course, they filmed it when the people got up and they walked away and got better and claimed to be better. But they didn't film the guys who were being carried off. Oh, they just didn't have enough faith. What happened is that the people, especially now, if you get into the large crowds where they're healing people, and they're doing a lot of gyrations and jumping around and stuff, and music, and you get this kind of hysteria almost in the crowds. They're literally sucking energy out of those people that are easily subjected to this sucking of energy and putting energy into others, channeling it to others. This is what the man was doing in Germany. He was channeling the energy of the people that would sit around the group. He wasn't a real bad psychic vampire, but he had this natural ability. It wasn't necessarily his intent. I don't want to pick on the poor guy, because he was a victim of his own abilities. I know people who have actually just been able to touch people and they would immediately feel their pain and say, oh, do you have a pain? So, and how do you know? Well, I feel it there now too. And when they touch that person, if they had sympathy and love for that person would lose that pain instantly. But they would have it, and then it would go away. Well, the reality, this is a very compassionate individual who does this, and they will take the pain out. I mean, every mother has this ability. When, you know, maybe I shouldn't say every mother. Most mothers have this ability because they have an empathy for their children. When the child falls and skins his knee, mommy can make it better. It's not just an emotional thing. That's a reality. Your mother can actually speed the process of healing. And she will take her energy and give you, freely give it to you. And that's okay. That's part of life. You know, she can give it to the point where she can cripple you too. And we see that. You know, everybody loves Raymond. It's a perfect example of how an overly protective mother can cripple her children. So there's always this balance. And where does the balance come from? It comes from Christ. And how does it come from Christ? Well, you have to do what Christ said. You have to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness and tend to the weightier matters. So what we're talking about, try to watch the time here, because there's a lot that we can cover on this. So energy misers are people who want to draw energy from other people. And then there are the givers. There are people who just want to give all the time. Now, this isn't exactly the same thing, but not real far from it. Everybody's probably heard of cutters. That's people who cut themselves and bleed. Kind of sadomasochistic approach where they actually get an emotional energy from releasing their blood. You know, these are the ones who want to marry Dracula. Have their blood taken because in the flow of that life out of them, they feel alive. You know, because they feel the passing of that blood. And that's the extreme case. The less than extreme case is the person who just wants to give. And they want to give to everybody. And they give till they're broke. You know, and they volunteer for everything. And they're just givers, givers, givers. And I know several people on the network that have been that way. And you have to be very careful that they don't overgive. Because that's not healthy either. You should be giving according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Because to give and give and give and give, you make people weak. You do not strengthen the poor. So you have these two aspects. Now, you get these two kinds of people in the same room, and you have a regular Dracula film fest here because there will be people, charismatic people, that will draw these people around them who give and give and give and give. I mean, we see it with rock stars and groupies and all these. Same principle, just different levels of it. And you don't want that. You want everybody plugged into the Holy Spirit. And so you need this balance. And so we have this balance in the world today. But we need to become active in creating that balance, because what happens when you begin to take energy from one person, and even if you take it for a good reason and give it to another, if you make a habit of obtaining the energy in that fashion, when it become, with it goes part of the programming, the something I was going to get to later probably in the second half of the show is this spiritual DNA. See, what was the term that I used? You know, patterns, spiritual patterns. And everybody has a spiritual pattern. Everybody has a DNA. So everybody has a spiritual DNA. Everybody has a resonant frequency that is uniquely them. And we say resonant frequency is actually a symphony of harmonies. And disease is simply inharmony. It's when something in the symphony is somebody's playing sour notes. And it can affect the whole symphony because it can throw everybody off. But anyway, we weren't going to get to that right away. We're still go back to being made in the image of God. There you're whole and you're healthy. And you're one with God. But if you reject God and say, I'm not, I know you told me not to eat of this tree of knowledge, but only to eat of the tree of life. I have the tree of knowledge, but not for a source. I have the tree of life for the source. But if evil appeals to our vanity, we think we can decide for ourselves what is good and evil because we're so dang smart. That's the tree of knowledge. That's your head. If you looked at the brain, the dendrites in your brain, as they filter out, and you just took a photograph of that in an MRI, it would look like a tree. That's the tree of knowledge. But there's another tree that you can't see in an MRI. You can see the absence of it in an MRI. But it's the tree of life. And it's there in the same place. But it's a different source. It's a spiritual source. But if you cut yourself off from the spiritual source, then all you got left is the tree of knowledge. And you'll need it to go out there and earn food, because when you cut yourself off from the tree of life, you cut yourself off from a source that is inexhaustible. It's the source of the creative force of the universe. You see, when Jesus was walking and the woman believed that if I touched him, I would be cured. She had a, I don't know if it was hemophilia or what, but it was a bleeding disease. And she was always bleeding. And she'd gone to all the doctors until she was broke. And now she wanted to go and touch Jesus because she heard something about this Jesus. She started believing in those little bits and pieces and parables and stuff. She believed that this guy was good. And she wanted what, she didn't, couldn't put her finger on it necessarily, but she thought if she put her finger on him, just on the hem of his garment, she would be healed. And she believed that. And her belief gave that idea power. And she went and touched him. And what happened? He felt the virtue go out of him. The energy go out of him. Where did that energy come from? It came from Jesus. But where did it come from before Jesus had it? Did it come from the crowds around him that were saying, oh, great, wonderful, terrific? Was he feeding on those people? I'm gonna connect another little idea here. I can connect this in a million different ways. I mean, it's like mycelium feeding out into, you know, one of the largest organisms on the face of the earth. This mycelium growing out, covering acres and acres of ground. But we could connect this in lots of different ways. But this idea of Jesus having this energy coming out of him and going into her and healing her. And he let it go. He could have stopped it probably, but he felt it go out because he was there to serve, not to be served. He was not an energy miser. He was not a tyrant. He was a lover, a giver, but only wanted to give where was going to do some good. And so when he was touched, she was healed. Back to where did he get the energy? One of the temptations of Christ, and this is the other connection, one of the temptations of Christ was to turn stones into bread. If you understand, in the Old Testament, the stones of the altar that we weren't to hewn were actually living stones. They were people. Always were. That's what it was. Until somebody twisted the translation and broke the symbol from its moorings. And those of you who listen to early morning shows should know what I'm talking about there. Albert Einstein also said, when a symbol unmoors itself from what it symbolizes, it loses meaning. It becomes ineffective. And that's what happened to the altars of the Pharisees. They broke the symbol of the living altars of Abraham and Moses from their moorings and made them dead stones. And they piled sheep on them and killed those sheep and burned them up. And when they sinned, they killed a dove. But none of that is actually the meaning in the Old Testament. Not a bit. Not a bit. And when I get the next book finished, you'll know. And if you want a hint at it, go read the book, Thy Kingdom Come. I think around chapter 3 will give you a little glimpse into that realm. And why? If you start going down the path that Christ has laid out, you will have that virtue in you that can heal the sick. Jesus would not turn living stones into bread for himself. He would not turn the crowds around him into his blood bank. He was not a vampire preacher who fed on the people that gathered around him. You know, those vampire preachers are afraid to scare their flocks away, so they won't even tell them the truth. They gather the flocks by comforting and comforting and comforting and lulling into sleep. So they can't say arise and walk anymore. So if you're going, we're made in the image of God, and by rejecting God and deciding to decide for yourself what was good and evil, you cut yourself off from the tree of life, and now you don't have that inexhaustible source of energy to heal the sick. The fact is that those people who do not want to know Christ, like that woman did, they won't stand nearby. They will stand far off. They will pace about at the other end of the room because they do not want to know Christ. They do not want the truth. And the energy that healed her will burn them like the fires of hell. And you have that power if you have Christ in you. Christ could have stopped them anytime he wanted during the crucifixion. But that wasn't his job. And he let it happen. He didn't want it to happen. But there was a plan. There was a method in the madness. And that in itself is more than a whole program. That's a whole walk to find out what that was. But we talk about it all the time, but we don't always connect the dots for you. Mostly I'm out there putting dots down. I'm putting enough dots down. Some of you are actually on the Living Network starting to connect those dots. And that's music to my ears. But I won't take that away from you, connecting those dots, because that's how you grow. It will change you to take the time to connect the dots and to do the will of the Father, to do the work. I'm just laying out the possibilities. I'm just scratching the paint off of the windows to let a little light in so you can find the door. We've seen instantaneous healings by the touch. It's not that uncommon. Where did they get the energy? Now, some get it from their own flesh and blood, but then they will become exhausted. If you're preaching the kingdom and the fact that people don't want to hear or reject you, exhaust you, you're doing the wrong thing. You think when that woman touched Jesus and he felt the virtue go out of him, he was all drained? oh my gosh, I'm drained, somebody touched me. No, he's plugged into the inexhaustible source. As a matter of fact, I find that when that energy is pulled out by people who will listen to the truth, I find it to be healing. Because the energy is going out and going to others, and I am actually energized as that energy flows through. But I'm not getting that energy from other people. I don't need other people. I don't have any problem with other people. People who need people are not the luckiest people in the world. People who need people are energy misers. Because they need people because they want to feed on people. Even the person who serves all the time is doing something that is, that person will want to weaken people around them so that they need to give to those people more. You know, the old teach a man to fish, not just give him a fish. Well, I'll teach a man to fish by occasionally, you know, taking the rod and saying, well, this, you know, showing him how to tie a fly and this, that, but I'll give it back to him. Now you try it. So we're doing a lot of things on the network, and I encourage everybody to join the Living Network. I actually went over my half-hour mark there. I think Cheryl is still here. She didn't give me a nudge.
I didn't. I didn't. You were on a roll.
I was on a roll. You can't stop me. Anyway, yeah, I got to get a bigger clock. I have to lean forward to see this one. So we're 3 minutes past the half-hour mark, so we should go to that, and then we'll go to the second half of this little campfire talk.
Great. Thank you so much. You're listening to the Sabbath Hour with Brother Gregory, hosted by Freedomizer Radio. Join us at freedomizerradio.com. We have a live chat there if you'd like to participate. You can ask questions if you'd like to call in.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Okay, we're back. You take it away, Brother Gregory.
Okay, anyway, we were talking about this idea of healing and DNA, spiritual DNA. Everything in the universe has a spiritual existence, a quantum connection between the spiritual side and the physical side of reality. And the true reality is born in the spirit of a thing or a living thing. And the reflection of that original spirit is what we see as the physical reality around us, the tables we knock on, the floors we walk on, the people we meet are a physical manifestation of a spiritual reality. And, of course, evil wants you to be made in its image. There's an actual evil realm out there. You might call it evil, but it's just simply an evil, like darkness, is the absence of good. If you reject part of the reality of what we call God, you create a shadow where you don't see the whole spectrum of light of God. And we were created in his whole image. And in order to be compatible with those that have rejected part of that image, we need to reject part of that image too. And it brings us down to their level, and we call that level an evil realm, a lower realm. And these realms are all overlapping each other. And the reality is that if you raise yourself up, actually you can't really raise yourself up, if you allow yourself to be raised up into the realm where you are closer to the image of God, the way God wants you to be, we call it allowing the Holy Spirit to dwell in you, evil can't see you anymore because evil can't look at the light. And when you fall prey to things like anger and resentment and jealousy and envy and all these things which are simply the absence of virtue, then we become more susceptible on those realms where evil dwells. And this goes for the evil guy living next door, as well as, you know, evil in actual spiritual realms around us. So you can't conjure up good because you can't conjure up God. You conform to God in the ways of God. And Christ says do certain things and don't do certain things. And when you try to do those things, you will come face to face with your inadequacy, what you're missing, what you are not letting God in your heart to allow you to do. Are you forgiving? Are you loving? Are you charitable? Are you patient? Are you giving in a way that strengthens people, that makes them more independent, more self-reliant, more virtuous themselves? Or are you weakening people? So this DNA, this is the nature of God, is to strengthen you. And so if the nature of God is in you, your nature is to strengthen people. Therefore, you don't want everybody on welfare because that would be bad. That would weaken them. And, you know, they talk about the salt losing its flavor. The DNA that God gave you originally, the original creation, had a certain pattern to it. And when you stray from that pattern by rejecting part of God, your DNA is actually affected. You won't live as long. You won't be as healthy. You will actually become susceptible to cancers. Cancers are usually the result of DNA's gone awry. And parasites will find a home in you. And parasites are the priests of most cancers. Get rid of the parasites and you get rid of the cancer. Or not every case, but in many cases that's the case. And one of the things you guys were talking about last week is Rife. I built my first Rife machine over 20-some years ago. I had the help of a fellow who worked for Crane, who was a protege of Rife himself. I have letters from Rife, the copies of them, that between him and government officials and a number of other things. I have stacks of information about a lot of his research. And we use that in the making of our first Rife equipment, which we still have. My first experience with Rife was we built this thing using Radio Shack amplifiers, an old NCR 4 megahertz computer, and amplifiers, and cut up a toaster for stainless steel plates, and hooked up the electrodes, and said, okay, now we got it built. What are we going to do with it? So we had a bunch of men here from a retreat that we have here. We have a retreat here. Well, we're at least going to have retreats here probably every fall, last week of September, occasionally the first week of October. And we have room for thousands of people if you want to come. Get on the Living Network at hisholychurch.org and start making arrangements to come. If you have talent, musical, teaching, skills, crafts, whatever, come. You can sell your wares. You can share your wares. You can have potlucks. We'll throw a lamb on the barbie and have a good time. So anyway, find out more at hisholychurch.org on that. It's the Burning Bush Festival, and we're going to be having it here every year. We have other events in other places across the country, Missouri, etc. And join the Living Network and become a part. But anyway, that first Rife machine, we said, okay, what do we do? Well, I had gone to this one retreat partly because I couldn't work anymore. I had tendonitis in one of my wrists so bad that I couldn't even hold a hammer. I was hammering with my left arm. And I'd had this problem off and on for 10 years, but now it had gotten critical. I mean, 2-3 times a month, I couldn't hardly use that hand. And the pain was excruciating. And I had no money. Had lots of children and living out here in the desert, raising sheep and doing carpenter work. And so I didn't know what I was going to do. And so we went to the retreat and came home, a bunch of guys with us, and we built our first Rife Blaster. Because one of the fellows, as I said, I can't mention his name, he's very secretive, had worked with Crane and showed us how to build it. And so we built it, and they said, well, hook up, and this is the first I mentioned my wrist. And so we hooked up the wrist, did a 15-minute treatment running through a series of frequencies. The next, this is about 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning by the time we were done. The next morning, they asked, well, how's your wrist? I felt it, no pain whatsoever. I couldn't pick up my newborn son then, and he's over 21 now. So never had trouble with it again. And it was a chronic problem up to that time. 15 minutes later, it's gone. So I sold me on the fact that something was going on with this Rife equipment. And I studied a great deal more about frequencies and all that. But one of the things that I've learned now that I've started this path towards the kingdom, this path, this ancient secret path that's right before our eyes, that has become invisible, like the, was it Gates to Mulder or whatever it was in Lord of the Rings, that you can't see unless you say friend. The fact is you're a frequency generator. You're a frequency receiver. You're built that way. It's part of that tree that's in your mind and in your body, your whole nervous system. You are the frequency generator, and you should be able to touch somebody and heal them, but only if they will receive the energy of that healing. Now, to guard yourself, that energy must come from the Holy Spirit. And you can't conjure up the Holy Spirit. You have to conform to Christ. This is why we're building a network that requires you to love your neighbor as yourself, be patient, forgiving, forbearing of ills against you. You have to be that way in order to be remade in the image of Christ, in the image that God intended you to be. At that point, when you start moving in that direction, you will have access to the same energy that Christ used. All these things you shall do, and greater things than these also you should do. Now, I'm not against using things like Rife equipment any more than I'm against putting a cast on your leg if you break it. But the truth is, you could heal those bones in minutes. I've seen it. But if you can't, then you better put a cast on your leg. But I'll tell you this, if you leave that cast on too long, you will weaken the muscles of your leg and create other problems. You cannot remain dependent on the artificial means of healing. But they're pretty handy from time to time in order to begin to practice this grace of loving one another. So anyway, if you learn these abilities, and I didn't get into talking about what the German healer did because I don't want people experimenting with this, because you start getting into the spiritual realm and you're playing with fire. You need to start simply by caring enough about other people to gather with other people so that you can be that buddy system times 10 that was Israel, that was the early church. Because in that environment, you can come face to face with how righteous or unrighteous you are. And you want to see your unrighteousness. You want to see your failings. Anybody who will not rebuke you and show you your failings, your impatience, your dishonor, which we all have from time to time, anybody who will not do that doesn't love you. As many as I love, I rebuke. Because it isn't what we see, it's what we don't see that is the problem. It's the light we've turned away from. What was the sin of Adam? That he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Well, yeah. But his real sin was that when he was confronted with this, he said, it's not my fault. And it was his fault. He blamed it on God. The woman you gave me to eat. It wasn't God's fault. It was his fault. And he should have taken the blame. We've been doing that since we were 3 years old. It's not my fault, he started it. No, it's our fault, and we need to see our fault, because what we do when we do that is we shed light on those dark areas of our own heart and soul and mind that we don't want to go. How can we clean out the temple and prepare it for the Holy Spirit if we will not go in all the rooms? And in your mind, there are many rooms, many things you will not see. And I really should probably teach you some tricks on how to do that. Maybe we'll do that on another show, how to go in those rooms. But I tell you, it isn't so much the tricks, it's what you do in the day-to-day life. And that's why the network is so important. That's why forming congregations of record and networking with other people, not so you can obtain something of value, so that you can become something of value. That's why it's so important. And if you will not do that, you will not be free. Oh, you might hide between the cracks for a while, but you will not be free. And you will probably not be healthy. So, you know, we'll talk about a lot of these things during the retreats, and we may come back. I don't know if we have anything going on in the chat room. Or sometimes when I get on some of these rolls, the chat rooms get very quiet. And I think that's a good sign. But the telephone number is 347-324-3704 if you have any questions. This is certainly different than a lot of the programs. I don't usually get into the metaphysical or the quantum area of this, but I listened to your show last week, and I know that a lot of guys were talking about this. I can tell you all, we can get into this in real great depth and detail, but it depends on how much your listeners want to know. And if there's a question out there, give us a call. I'll give you that number again, and I'll say it real slow so you can write it down. I always hate that when everybody rattles them off. I'm no good at numbers. 347, 347, first number, 324-3704. So if you got a question, call in. So anyway, Cheryl, did you have anything that's on your mind about some of this? Because I know you were on that program last week, and you've talked to a lot of the other people that talk about some of these things.
You're right, I was. And the show today is also going to be about the power within and getting in touch with that. So this falls right in line with what we'll be talking about later. So I appreciate the subject, but even though you don't normally get into that.
It's what we call campfire talk. There's a lot of things that we get into in great detail in campfire talks, but we know that if, you know, the power within, everybody has power within them, and that's one of the reasons why I brought up some of the stories that I brought up, is that we all have this power within us, because we all have, you know, a certain amount of energy that we can produce. We can get it from food. We can get it from other people. We can get it from a lot of things. We have to be very careful, because witchcraft, and I don't want to pick on witches. It's just a term that we do see in the Bible. The nature of this energy that we should be getting from God, it can come to everybody through, because every one of us is a temple of the Holy Spirit, but we can also become temples of the unholy spirit. And, you know, we could get into some really scary shows in that area. The reality is that there is a certain pattern that we need to be looking for in that inside of us that we need to tap into, and things that don't match up with that pattern, and we see that pattern in Christ, is very important when you start dealing with these energies and these powers, because I think it's almost self-evident that the one difference is that I was pointing out the fact that everything has a spiritual existence and everything has a physical existence. And, of course, you know, objects, they may have sort of a spiritual existence that brought them into being. That's the millions and billions of little atoms that are vibrating at a certain rate, giving that item a resonant frequency. But it doesn't have the identity spiritual reality that man does as we dwell in our bodies. But every little blood cell in our body is out there doing a job. I have a video of a white blood cell chasing down a foreign object in the body, trying to get it, and that object is actually fleeing the white blood cell, and eventually the white blood cell catches up with them and devours them. And every time I show that, people cheer when they see it, because you see that white blood cell just struggling to get this object. Well, there's an actual identity, and there's a thing called cellular communication, that one part of your body becomes immune, and without ever connecting to a disease, the other parts of your body will become immune too, because of cellular communication. And it's part of one of the things that we talked about, you know, one of the principles we talked about one of the earlier shows, when we talked about the 100th monkey, you know, the idea that this collective consciousness. Well, in your body, every cell is a part of a collective consciousness, a part of that resonant frequency. And if certain aspects of our character are not tended to, not addressed, certain, you know, vengeful, angry, jealousy, all those things we list off as the vices, if we don't look at that and address that, it can put your whole physical body out of harmony. And so even with mechanisms that could bring health will actually bring greater problems later on. They will allow things to fester in us. So there is no substitute. Christ is the answer. That character of Christ, Christ being the anointing, Yeshua, Jesus being the anointed. We need that anointing. Each of us need that anointing of that Holy Spirit. We must be born of water, and that's what we were when we were born of our mothers. And we must also be born of spirit. But that spirit needs to be the true spirit of the Creator. And there's a lot of other people out there imitating that spirit of Creator and claiming to be ministers of God. And they are actually delivered almost the entire world back into the bondage of Egypt, back into Babylon, in the name of religion. Now, one of the things we talked about on the early show is that all these temples, I used to wonder about that, and of course God was giving me the curiosity. What is the temple of Saturn? What are these other temples, that the temple of Janus? What were the guys doing in there? Were there dancing girls? Or, I mean, what's going on in these so-called pagan temples? It gives pagans a bad name. But the reality is those temples were government buildings. They were built by government taxpayer money. They were funded by government taxpayer money at the time of Christ. Temple of Saturn was funded with a 5%, at least part of the funding came from a 5% tax on the ownership of slaves. That was virtually the equivalent of our unemployment. If you cast people out after they no longer were of any value to you as a servant, an employee is really with the same term there, the government supported them with the money that you had paid in, this 5% tax. That's what that was. That was where you put your birth registration. All children by 160 AD had to be registered with the Temple of Saturn. That's your Bureau of Vital Statistics. That's all it was. Is there any wonder why all of the government buildings today are being made after Roman architecture? It isn't just the architecture that they're copying. It's the actual system. Your Capitol building is a pagan temple by design. I can show you the last remaining columns of the Temple of Saturn, and you can look through them, and there you see the Capitol building. The equivalent. It looks identical to the U.S. Capitol building behind it. Your Department of Treasury is built after the Temple of Ephesus, which was the World Bank in those days. And the Christians were accused of robbing it. So, anyway, we only got a couple more minutes, so this is usually about when a caller gets the courage to call. The fact is in God's kingdom, each of you is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Each of you is a conduit of His power. But He cannot flow through you till you match the frequencies of God. In other words, the character of God. The patience, the love, those lists of things we call virtues. And if you don't have them, that's okay. See it. Look at it. Be still and let God make you a virtuous man. You can't do it on your own. You have to be remade again back in the image of God, and then you will have the power. Then you will have the health. Actually, when we started this program, I had a fever, I had a cold, I was dripping sinuses. It's all gone. So somebody out there is listening. But anyway, I'd stick around for the rest of your show, but I have to be on a conference call right after this show, and I can't do it. But anyway, I thought hopefully this topic would match more in line with the rest of your show and be a good lead-in.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that very much.
And I'll probably hear the show because I usually download the whole thing after sometime this evening, and I get to listen to it then. So anyway.
Very good.
So are we at the end here? I think we're at 3:59 or 4 o'clock. We're there.
Yep. We did it once again.
Once again. So anyway, thanks for having me, and God bless.
God bless you too. Thank you so much for coming. You've been listening to the Sabbath Hour with Brother Gregory, hosted by Freedomizer Radio.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.